couldn't stop thinking about the skinny jean wearing, Taylor Swift loving, vintage car driving farm boy. A few months had passed since our blind date at Macaroni Grill, and although I wasn't ready to be in a serious relationship, I was definitely curious about this boy. Over the next few months, whenever I was home from school for the weekend, Jeremy and I would rendezvous at church. Sometimes he met up with my friends and me ahead of time so we could drive together. Other times, he hung out with us after church for some late night grub. While I was at school, Jeremy would send an occasional text with a movie, podcast, or song suggestion, but we hadn't gone on a second date or spent any time alone together. When I came home for summer break and it was warm enough to hang outside in the evenings, he invited me over to the farm for the first time. I approached the iconic Roloff Farm sign on Helvetia Road, turned down the gravel driveway, and proceeded to the dimly lit security gate. I glanced down at my phone to review Jeremy's text message instructions outlining which buttons to press on the keypad. After I pressed a few buttons, Jeremy's voice crackled back through the intercom. "Odge? It's me." "Access granted," announced a robotic voice as the gate opened, although it felt as in that same moment I also granted access to my heart in some small way. I followed the driveway through a tunnel of trees that led up to an enormous farmhouse. As I pulled up, a large group of guys and girls all hopped on to a giant passenger ATV thing and then sped off. I took a few deep breaths in the comfort zone of my car before emerging. Jeremy was standing outside and motioned for me to join him on a smaller ATV. "Hop on the mule," he said. "Everyone is headed out to the campfire pit." "Mule?" I knew he must be referring to the ATV, but I felt like an idiot for not being more fluent in farm lingo. I joined him on the mule and we buzzed past barns, farm equipment, animals, and other structures I couldn't quite make out in the dark. We reached the campfire pit where Zach, Jeremy's twin brother, was debriefing the rest of the gang on the rules. Unless you're a Little People Big World fan, you'd never know that Zach is Jeremy's twin brother. They look and act nothing alike. We were about to play a game of fugitive, but this was different from the suburban-style fugitive I was used to playing with my friends. For us public school kids, fugitive was essentially a giant game of tag, but the people who are it are cops and drive around in cars. We usually designated four cop cars with multiple people in each car. Everyone else was a fugitive. For the fugitives, the goal was to run from the starting location, usually a school parking lot, to the destination, usually another school parking lot, without getting tagged by the cops. Sometimes that required running through surrounding neighborhoods or parks to stay out of sight. To officially catch the fugitives, cops had to pull over, get out of the car, and tag them. Fugitives who got caught became cops and had to help catch other fugitives. The first person to make it to the destination without getting caught won the game. I took pride in my fugitive skills. Even when I was spotted, I could always outrun the cops. But the rules for farm fugitive turned out to be much different. When you grow up on 34 acres, you don't need to run through people's backyards and apartment complexes in order to play the game. Instead of cop cars, Zach drove around on a mule while the rest of us fugitives ran from one end of the farm to the other and back again. Instead of having to actually get out and tag us, Zach just had to call out our names. That meant stealth was even more important than speed. As Zach pointed out the boundary lines, I felt my confidence begin to plummet. Apparently, we are all supposed to run from the campfire pit to the pumpkin barn, which was a safe zone, and then back to the campfire pit. Except I had no idea.